we're going to do a conference. We're doing a conference call with Kristalina, and she's going to share her testimony. For those of you who are, let me refresh your memory. Her testimonial is she was a prodigal wife, and I'm not going to get too much into detail because I want her to share her story. But she was a prodigal wife. God grabbed a hold of her heart, and one of the hundred of favorite verses that I have in the Bible is Proverbs 21:1, where God says that He holds the heart of the king in His hands, and He turns it like a channel of rivers. He turns it whichever way He wants. One of the reasons why that's one of my favorite verses is because God's reminding us, and there's other scriptures too that go along with this. God tells us He holds the heart in His hands. So if He can do it with kings, He can do it with anyone, and He does do it with anyone. This story you're going to hear tonight of the focus of tonight's testimonial is God touching her heart and turning her heart, just like Saul to Paul and his encounter on the road to Damascus. God touched her heart and turned her heart. And whether you're standing for your husband or your wife, we're all here standing because that's exactly what we want God to do for our spouse. And that's the whole reason why we're waiting. We're standing and we're waiting for God to do this. So let me take care of some housekeeping things first before we jump right in. This call is recorded. As you logged in, it said recording in progress. We record this. This I will post on the website praisereports.org. Some of you know it, others don't. If you need me to repeat that again later at the end of the conference call, I will. But I'm going to post the recording there. I'm also going to post it if I can figure out how to do it. I've never done it before. But I'm sure there's a way to do it, and I'll get the admins of the different standing groups where you saw the conference call being posted. I'll try to get the recording listed or posted there as well. All right, we're getting a lot of people who are logging in. Everyone's going to be doing stuff in the background. I want to ask everyone right now, take a second, look at your phone, however you logged in, find your mute button, and put yourself on mute, because you could have all kinds of stuff going on in the background and you may not be paying attention to it, but the microphone will pick it up and it will be broadcast into this conference call loudly. I've heard people chewing, you know, gum in the background, eating chips, microwaving stuff. The craziest things get picked up. So put yourself on mute. When we're ready to do Q&A, I'll remind you again to take yourself off of mute if you have questions. So the format for tonight is I'll open up with prayer in a second. I'm going to introduce Kristalina. She will then share her story. When she's done, I will open up the floor for Q&A. When we're doing Q&A, if you are referring to your spouse at all because your spouse is in your question, you feel free to not mention them by name. And if you do mention them by name, mention just first name only, again, because we're gonna post this conference call. And one thing we want to do, always, 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 is cover our spouses. We don't want to broadcast all the stuff that they're doing. So if we're identifying them by name, you get where I'm going with this. If we're identifying them by name in a conference call that we're posting, and you know, you never want the conference call getting back to your spouse. They're going to find out. They're mentioned, and then you've discussed something you shouldn't have. So be careful what you mention about your spouse. First names only. You don't even have to mention your name. Just say, I'm standing for my marriage. Here's my question. Anonymity is very, very good because we're covering our spouses. Okay, moving on. I think that's it. So mute. And I also have control over here. So if anyone comes in later or forgets to take themselves, put themselves on mute, I will manually mute you. Hopefully I'll remember to unmute you for the Q&A. Having said all that, let's jump into it. It's 6:07. We're going to try to keep this less than an hour and a half because when it comes to this kind of conference call, there's a lot of questions, and everyone wants to ask a lot of detailed questions, and we can go on and on, but we have to cut not only that, but for respect for Chris D'Elia, who's decided to give her time and answer as many questions as possible. So let me open up with prayer, and then we can jump right in. Father, we come before you this evening in thankfulness that you've made this call possible. And Father, we pray that you would speak through Chris D'Elia tonight as she shares her testimony. Father, we pray that what comes out of this is your hand at work. That's the reason why we're here. You're the one who draws each of our hearts to you. You're the one who changes our hearts. And we want to give you the praise, glory, and honor because you're the one who's done it. If any one of us are able to do anything, we would have already done it, and we would have already restored our own marriage. But none of us are able to do that, and that's why we turn to you. And just like with every story in the Bible, you want to do it to receive the praise, glory, and honor. So, Father, I pray that during this conference call tonight that you would speak in and through not only Chris D'Elia, but her story, which is a testament to you, of who you are, your character, your nature, and your sovereignty and your power. So, Father, we pray, we ask, receive all the glory, praise, and honor, and bless our conference call. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have Chris D'Elia on the line. Chris D'Elia, you have the floor. And do you have any questions before I put myself on mute?
Nope. Ready to go.
Okay. It's all you.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for coming. I hope everybody's having a good night. I really want to stress I really am thankful for you guys to come and join and be here with us and just listen. So I want to definitely start off with a brief background of my marriage. Me and my husband, we've been best friends since we were kids, known each other. We were always there for each other through other relationships, thick and thin, best friends. We were married at 19 and 20, so young age, but we were very well, we knew we wanted each other. We knew we were meant for each other. It wasn't perfect. No marriage is perfect. I'd be lying if I said it was all candies, cupcakes, and rainbows. It wasn't. There was disagreements, of course, but it was good. It was good marriage. Always laughed. We were always together. Knew each other inside and out. We grew up both in a strict Roman Catholic religion. Church on Sundays, church school after school on Tuesdays. Dressed up, had to be quiet, you know, that background. We didn't really know much of the God that we know. We were taught that God was very stern, strict, you know, and it sours as a child, as a teen growing up, it sours our relationship, and there's a lot of resentment there. Throughout the years of us being married, we moved to California. He was stationed there. He was in the military, again, young age. Communication started breaking down. Now, being young, you really don't know how to communicate. You want to yell. You want to scream at each other, be sarcastic, that kind of stuff. Possibly stress came into it, was the reason. Maybe it was our young age. We really can't tell. It was just communication started breaking down between us. And it felt like I didn't live out my years as a young teenager, while everybody else we went to school with, they were out traveling, they were still single. We got married young. We also, my husband and I grew up early because we were the oldest of our siblings. So we had to grow up and we were sheltered. So we didn't really get to live that fun life. And throughout the marriage, I started feeling like that, watching friends just, you know, post things on Facebook like, oh, I'm in Vegas or, oh, this and that. So I started definitely feeling a little jealous, like, hey, I didn't get to do that. I want to do that. And being always with each other, I started to feel suffocated. We were next to each other 24/7 when he came home from work. We were always there, and it started to put a damper on it. I didn't have an issue with it before, but then at that time, it just things started getting dark and gloomy. At a certain point, I started not to value a human being or another person, aka my spouse. I just thought being married was just being married. I didn't value the things that came with a marriage. I wanted to be free for part-time. I wanted a part-time per diem type free life where I can go out and party, but then I can also be a wife. And I, like at the time, I thought that was a thing. After my grandma passed, things crumbled. It was around Christmas of 2016. My grandma was like my mother, because I didn't really have a good mother figure. And she passed suddenly, and I didn't get to say goodbye. So everything kind of went downhill there. We had our baby, we had our baby in 2015. And he just kind of got distant with helping, didn't want to help me with the baby, didn't want to be considerate of anything, but he still wanted to be intimate. So he didn't have consideration of, you know, she's going through something or we just had a baby. Fast forward back to 2016 when I lost my grandma. Like I said, everything went downhill from there. December 26th, I called him into our living room, and it'll be a day that I will forever remember because I've never heard this man cry, not even when we were kids, and he skid his knee. And we did a lot of skateboarding and BMXing, so that was a lot of scratches and marks there. So I've never heard him cry at all. December 26th, 2016, I called him into the living room, and I told him to his face, I don't love you anymore. When I told him that, there was a voice in my head that said, you're lying. But I couldn't bring myself to say, you know what, I don't mean it. I just need, you know, a few minutes to myself. I stuck with it, and I said, I don't love you anymore. I don't want to be with you. I want a divorce. He broke down. He walked back into our room. I stayed in the living room. And throughout the whole night, I heard this man weep like I've never heard him before. Throughout the night, I wanted to get up, but I felt like I had paralysis in my body. I couldn't move. I wanted to move. I couldn't move. It was a haunting experience for me, now that I think back on it, because it was just, I wanted to stop right then and there, but it really felt like something came over me and I couldn't. When I was prodigal, I moved out a little bit after December. I want to say towards the end of December, the 30th to January of 2017. I was mean. I was very mean to my husband. Text messages he would send me. I would reject him. He would always try to say, please come back. Are you sure you want to do this, this and that? Always rejection. I wanted my cake, and I wanted to eat it too. At the same time, I thought the grass was greener at the other side. So I wanted to see what was out there, but I also wanted my husband still in the background while I sowed my wild oats, I guess you could say. I started soon to get on dating sites, every dating site you can think of. I met somebody, a female friend at the time who, you know, now I think back and I see that, you know, the devil brought her in my life, because it was the same time that my prodigal time was getting, you know, strengthened, I guess you can say. She would basically say, it's okay to stay out late. Who cares? You don't have to run anything by him. You don't have to include him. And she also geared me towards those dating sites. A lot of that stuff was, again, I kind of knew I didn't want to do it, but I was so stuck in the, all right, tunnel vision going forward, can't turn back, I can't look stupid now. Being by myself, though, it sucked. I hated being alone. I hated the quietness. I hated the fact that I'm alone with my own thoughts. And at the time, I thought it was my own thoughts, like my conscience. But looking back again, it was God. I was at a low point. My mom took custody of my daughter for 2 years. So I lived by myself, literally went from a house full of pitter-patter of little feet, you know, our dogs howling and my husband, you know, joking around, laughter, completely dead silent. So you can imagine the quietness, being alone. And I felt like I was surrounded, but I was alone at the same time because I was surrounded by the wrong people. I hated myself. I remember I would take multiple showers a day because I just felt I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. And, you know, I would get out of the shower and gripping the sides of the sink, I would just look at myself in the mirror and just curse myself out. I would say, I hate you. I don't know who you are. Who are you? You're not the person he married. Why can't you just go home? And I'd have that conversation with myself because I wanted to go home. Majority of me wanted to go home, but it was like there was something almost, it was, dare I say, almost like being possessed. Again, he used to text me. He used to make multiple Facebooks to get a hold of me because there's been times where I have blocked him. He used to make Wi-Fi numbers to text me. This man even wrote handwritten letters. And sometimes I wouldn't read them at that moment. Other times I'd tell him to stop, enough with the mushy, gushy stuff. And other times I'd read them, pretend I didn't see them. But 100% of the time, I would go over each and every one of those forms of communications over time, and I would reread them, cry. There's been times where we stayed close friends while I was prodigal. He even had a key to my apartment. And he's always come over. And there's been times where he leaves. I'll close the door and I'll just turn around and just sink myself into the floor crying. Because I wanted to go home and I just didn't know how to say it. I didn't want to feel stupid. I thought he would say, "Oh, I told you so." You know, so it was super hard. I just felt something holding me back. Towards 2019, I hit a really, really big low, financially, emotionally. I hit a huge low, and I typed out a text message to my husband. "Is it okay to come home now?" And I was about to just press send, and I get one of those match notifications from a dating site. I was about to ignore it, but then something was like, no, you should try it, you know, just check it out. So I deleted that text and I checked it out, and that was when I met my quote-unquote the one, my counterfeit. And I should also preface this that I've dated after I left my husband a couple times previous from this person, and each time everything ended literally at 6 months with the same reasoning, the same script, everything at 6 months exactly. So when I was with this person, you know, I thought this was my one, and, you know, we were going to get married. And I, throughout me dating and throughout me being with this person also, he didn't know I was still married. I lied about my husband. I said, "Oh, I'm divorced." So I pushed my husband to hurry up and sign paperwork because I started the process. I went on some online divorce website, printed out papers, and I would push him like, "Come on, we got to get this done, because I didn't want that lie to come out. I wanted everything to meet halfway where it didn't look like there was a little hiccup down the road. So when that happened, he met the other woman that he's currently with. So we met both our people at the same time. It was, like I said, I thought, you know, I was moving on. I thought everything was great. I always had that love for my husband. But over time, I just didn't want anything to do with my husband. I changed all the bills, to my maiden name, even though my last name was legally still his. Like I said, I told my boyfriend at the time, I'm not married, I'm divorced, you know, blah, blah, blah. 6 months came around, and I was like, here we go, too good to be true, and I kind of knew it was coming, and he left me. My boyfriend left me. So at that time, I was pretty much desperate in getting him back because I thought it's either going back to my husband or, you know, I have to get this person back. So I spent almost $4,000, close to that, on like psychics and tarot cards, trying to see like, oh, is this person going to come back? Like, you know, am I going to have a chance? And when I tell you the power of God, and God is the only one that can have a say in your life, I mean that with every word possible. Mind you, I'm still not really a child of God. I turned my back on God being my husband at this time. But I kind of sensed that there was something God-like going on because in each of those, I'd say around 26 tarot card readings and psychic readings, I'd expect, you know, this man, like my ex-boyfriend with blonde hair, blue eyes, my husband is total opposite. I expect a description such as that, and each 26 of those readings I'd hear, your person has reddish brown hair with a beard, brown ember, like kind of amberish eyes, and his zodiac sign is Scorpio. And I get so mad because I'm like, no, that's my husband. I don't want that answer. And each time that was the answer. A month before my boyfriend left me, I'd sleep next to him, and for, I'd say, about 2 weeks straight, I'd get the same dream of my husband coming home. It's raining. He's crying, and he's saying, I'm sorry. I want to come home now. And at the time, I'm like, why is he saying I'm sorry, first of all, because I'm the one who left. Second of all, why am I dreaming of him? I don't want to dream of him. I want nothing to do with him. So it was literally madness throughout that whole thing. After the breakup, you know, like I said, I went into psychics and tarot readings. I started becoming more quote-unquote spiritual, but like the witchcraft spiritual. I was into that kind of stuff, manifesting, all that stuff, but I wasn't into getting my husband back. I was done. I didn't want him. I moved on to somebody else at that point in time. It wasn't until I met the most recent person after that breakup where I started feeling something moving. It was an abusive relationship, physically and financially. And I spent a lot of my nights on the couch, which is very ironic because that's where I started off when I left my husband, and that's where I ended up in my second low point in my life. I just thought to myself, like, what am I going to do? Like, I can't keep running. I can't keep doing this. Like, my daughter is getting older and she's being affected. And throughout each moment in my life from the time that I left my husband to this point in time of my second low point, I heard, go home. I kept hearing the phrase, go home. And again, at the point, I thought it was my self-conscious. Like, I'm not really, I wasn't into God. I'm not like, oh, God's speaking. But it felt like my self-conscious. I thought it was, but something was saying it's not your self-conscious, but I couldn't put my finger on it. I never understood why or what's happening. I prayed. The only time that I really was all about God was when I was at my breaking point with Zeke, with my spouse saying, you know, can you come home? I miss you. And I literally got on my hands and knees, and I prayed to God, and I'm like, God, I don't talk to you much, but can you please bring somebody else so he can leave me alone? And, like, I didn't know until now. I prayed for the other woman because a week later she did pop up, and that's when he met her. But bringing it back to my most recent low point when I woke up, it was just, I'm trying to like remember and describe how it first started. Like I asked myself, what am I doing? And then I heard that voice again. I heard that phrase, go home. But it was like that phrase, it's like that stern voice of like, you're playing outside and your parents told you a couple times, hey, it's dinner time, come inside. And after the second time you didn't listen, now your parents are like stern about it. All right, now you need to go home. Now you need to come inside. And I was like, all right, this is getting weird. So I kind of was like, I was a smart aleck. And I kind of joked around. I was like, God, is that you? Like, what do you want? And I heard it again, go home. And then I heard, be honest with yourself. And I was like, okay, this is getting weird. This is getting creepy. I was confused. I didn't know what was going on. And I was like, let me try something. So I had the idea of saying out loud, which I haven't said it in years. I love, and I said my husband's full name. And I said it out loud, and when I tell you, it was like my whole system was flushed. I went from cold to warm. It felt like I was living again. It felt like I had new life in me when I said that out loud. I was actually honest. I saw at first I could do my standing like half-heartedly because I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do this. And I'm going to get my husband back. So I searched up how to get your ex back. And, you know, I got those, you know, scam type of like websites where it's like, get your ex back in 15 days and pay $395. And then I saw something about standing, and I'm like, what does that mean? And I kind of rolled my eyes because it mentioned, you know, Christianity and God, and I was like, oh, great, you know. So I was like, let me just do this half-heartedly. The more I did research, because me and my husband have always been, like, geeks and nerds, we do research. The more I did my research on God, the more I was like, wow, this isn't the God we were taught. Like, you know, he seems pretty awesome. He seems pretty nice. And I'm not a crier, but I started crying reading. You know, I'm not that person that cries at a movie. I'm not that person that cries when somebody leaves, but, or reads or something like, but I was crying. I was crying my eyes out, and I'm like, wow, like, this isn't the God that I grew up with. Like, this isn't what I know. So, over time, it was a course of a few weeks in October, I started reading more, and the more I read, the more my days felt brighter. I don't know what happened, but I woke up feeling better than what I usually would wake up to. I stopped taking my depression pills, my anxiety pills. I just felt like a new person, like nothing could bring me down. And it wasn't until November 18th of last year where I was like, you know what? I'm fully committing my life to God. Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I got baptized and I got saved. And from then on, my life has been full of Christ. My standing, however, I started standing back in July of that year of 2021. But I didn't know God at that time. I just knew I wanted my husband back. So previous to November, I was just standing, but I was trying to do things my own way and manipulate it and, you know, trying to get him back myself, you know, like I said, half-heartedly. And it wasn't until November where I, you know, did all that. I fully got into the standing groups, and I started learning and teaching myself how to just give up control and let go and let God. And it's been hard some days, but I look back to where I started, and I can definitely say that it's been a learning experience, and I've definitely came out stronger than I was before.
So is that the end of your story?
Up
until now? Okay.
Yeah. The end.
The end. At least one part of it. Okay. So I'm standing for my marriage, and I heard when you mentioned, that you sat your husband down and you told him, you don't love him anymore, and you want a divorce. That brought back memories for me. I'm pretty sure we have at least one other guy in the group here with us, because I don't know who's all in on this conference call. But for you guys out there who are listening live or later, I'm sure you can relate to that. Let me point this out real quick before we move on to the Q&A. For those guys who are in this call or will be listening to this on a playback wherever we get this posted, guys, men, you're standing for your marriage. Here is just one of many, many, many wives whose heart has been turned back by God Himself. Last week, we had a discussion in one of the groups where two guys pointed out that there's less men standing and then there is less prodigal wives that come back. And I think I did my best to try to show them that was not accurate. But here's one woman, and this is something that we need to keep in mind is that I just lost my train of thought, so I'm sorry about that. All right, let me move on. I find it interesting, Crystalina, because I have not heard your story. Like you and I were in a Facebook a week ago Sunday, then we coordinated all of this, just through Facebook, and here we are. So I've never heard your story. But what I found interesting, can I just point this out real quick? You were going to tarot card readers and whoever else, and they were telling you the same thing. They were to, correct me if I'm wrong, did I hear that correctly? They were describing your husband to you. Is that right?
Yes. I went to them looking for the same question. Will me and so and so get back together? And before some of them before you ask a question, they're like, "Don't tell me. I'll describe your person." And then they would do that. And others after I asked that question, they would say, "Your person is, this looks like this and this. This is his description, and he's always been your person. And you guys have been twin flames and known each other since childhood." And I'm like, no. At the
The
time, I
reason
was
why,
like, that's not the answer.
yeah, the reason why I bring this up, though, is I want everyone to hear very, very carefully. I want you to get this. God was speaking to Crystalina through these people who were doing tarot cards and whatever else. Now, God was using unconventional secular means to speak to Crystalina. The reason why that's very important is that I've heard a lot of things from standards say, "Well, my husband's not a Christian, so how is God going to reach them? My spouse is, on the East Coast or in a different country or halfway around the world. How is God going to reach them?" Or, "I haven't talked to my spouse in 3 years. Not one text, not one phone call, nothing. How's God going to reach them?" I've heard this over and over and over again, and I have seen over the last 5 years, I have seen God use secular means over and over and over and over again to communicate to someone. And God will do it. There's a story in the Bible, too, where it was King Saul, not to be confused with Paul, King Saul, the first king of Israel. And he disobeyed Elijah. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And Elijah, I think it was it, no, it was, I'm sorry, it was, I think Samuel. Samuel was the prophet. Samuel died, and then King Saul needed to communicate with him, so he went to a medium and disguised as someone else other than the king, and God spoke through the medium, or God allowed Samuel. I think it was Samuel the prophet. Someone can correct me on that. The prophet to speak through the medium. So the reason why this is important is no matter what you hear Satan telling you, that God cannot reach your spouse for whatever reason, fill in the blank, it doesn't matter. There's 100 reasons Satan will give us. Well, God can't speak to our spouse because of this or because of that or because of whatever reason. That's Satan lying to us, trying to discourage us, because God can and God does speak through any person, any means possible, through secular movies, music, not that we should look to be going looking for those things, but God will speak through any means possible. Anyways, I want to point that out because that's something we need to understand. That's the truth, the basic truth about God, and we don't want to put him in a box. Okay, so I don't want to continue with my point there. Let's open up for Q&A. I'm sure everyone has questions they want to ask. Crystalina, again, if you're just now joining us and you missed the intro, please use your first name only or don't. Please do not use your spouse's full name. You can just refer to him as a husband or wife, whichever, because we are going to post this recording in other places. So first names only or not, no first names. Okay, so let's open up the floor for Q&A. Who wants to shoot first?
I'll shoot first. This is Glenn. Being a standard, and of course, you know, the most thing that everyone will say is free will. My spouse, she's cordial towards me and everything, and then sometimes I'm like, man, this is the good it's going to get. Like, God, are you saying anything to her? Because it doesn't look like, you know, in the natural, like, nothing is happening. It's like, is she hearing anything or saying anything? Because if she's hearing anything from God, which I don't know what God is doing, like, you know, what's going on with her? And, yes, she's, you know, dating someone else, and that really had discouraged me for a while, and I'm sitting here to myself, like, why am I even standing? And she's over here with this other guy, like, why? Then I still find myself standing, like, what is going on with, you know, I guess when there are prodigals as to, you know, what is going through their head, what could be possible going on that's stopping them, you know, or seeing any results in the natural?
I definitely want to preface that it's pride. It's pride and it's shame, especially when they're strong-willed people. Like, it's always going to be like, can I go back? I'm going to act. There's been so many times where, like I said, I've cried behind closed doors, but I've acted hard and tough in front of my husband, like, no, I don't want you, like, you're fine, blah, blah, blah. But the free will thing, you can only go so far, and I use it as the analogy of when you have a dog on a retractable leash, they can go as far as they can go, but it's not until, you know, you hit that button or God hits that button that's like, nope, you're not going that far. So you have that free will until a certain point, and however God sees fit to reach out to, because God can reach out to people in different manners, you know, like it can be, you know, through music, it can be through books, it can be through just talking and hearing a voice. So he can definitely reach a prodigal because he's God. He can do anything, you know, he can reach you. I mean, he reached me through tarot cards, but I will say a prodigal knows when they're being bad, and they have that guilt and shame to bring back home with them. And again, when they're alone, the quietest time for them is the worst time. So it's reaching her. Sometimes it just takes a while because it depends on how prideful that person is.
Yeah, but now, Crystalina, you heard God speaking to you right from the very beginning, even when you sat your husband down and told him those two things, you don't love him anymore and you want a divorce. Even in that moment,
right.
you knew right. What you were doing is wrong and God's telling you that. Okay.
Yep.
So the entire time. I just want to say this again. There are in many testimonials that I've read and watched, and there's hundreds and thousands of them out there. I've heard this repeatedly from prodigals who've come back and share their testimony. God has been speaking to them the entire time. Okay, so next question.
Hi, I had a question.
Sure,
are you able to hear me? Okay.
Yes.
My husband's a prodigal, and he always says things that don't make sense to me. He lives with me, so he hasn't moved out, and it's like he wants like both. He wants to be able to have me as his wife, his best friend, his partner, but then not sure about the romance thing. And then he, you know, tries to say, oh, well, you know, I'll never leave you, and he'll always try to do nice things for me, but then at the same time he's confused, or he acts confused, or he looks confused about, well, I don't know if I can be, you know, romantic with you, because, you know, he has a physical dysfunction that a lot of men get, and he feels some kind of way about that. And with other women that don't know him, they can come and go, and he doesn't feel bad. But he feels bad that he may never be able to fully perform for me. And so I don't know if that plays into his mindset, but I'm just wanting to know, when prodigals are like half in, half out, what does that mean? Are they just trying to have their cake and eat it too, or are they just still confused about coming back? Because even he said, I've created so much barriers between us. I don't know if it's possible for us to, you know, to be happy again. And then he'll ask me, do you think we can be happy again? So I'm trying to understand that
It definitely is both. It's confusion and want your cake and eat it too. Because that's how I was too. Like we, like I said, we were best friends, and I wanted my husband, but I also wanted to go out, party, you know, talk to other people, date, and all that stuff. So it's definitely both with that. His physical issue could, a lot of times, it does play a part when you have something like an insecurity like that, because he feels like he can't satisfy. And as a man's job naturally is to protect, provide, you know, satisfy, and that becomes shameful for him, and he's, you know, prideful, shameful. He wants his cake, and he wants to eat it too. And it definitely, the back and forth is confusing, and it doesn't make sense. And I also equate being a prodigal to being a drug addict. When you're addicted to something, what do? You make stories up, and you don't make any sense, and you just try to explain, and, you know, and you just go in circles because you're believing your own, you know, your own reasoning as to why this is not going to work out and why this and that. And we heard.
So, Crystalina, you broke. Can you back up just a second?
Hello?
You broke up there for a minute. Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you back up just about 10 seconds because you broke up.
Yeah, what was the last thing you heard?
Someone help me out here. What was the last thing that we heard? Because I was trying to get you back online. Yeah, what was your last thought that you were on? Try that.
That they're like drug addicts. Prodigals are like druggies.
Right.
Like they explain things that that make sense to them. It's just confusing. It's that runaround. And sometimes, a lot of the times, us standers need to come to the conclusion that we hurt them, even though we feel like we probably didn't. Somehow, some way, in their retrospect, we hurt them, or they don't feel safe. So, their reasoning, like the boundary things, he probably doesn't feel safe, or that's just his crazy, confusing reasoning. It could be either of that. It's just, you have to have patience with them because they're literally like addicts.
And how is standards, how do we deal with that as a standard? Do we just, pray, be accepting, don't question, let God work through that person? Because I've tried a lot of things and he has complied, but then I could tell he doesn't have a change of heart. He'll have a change of mind and maybe go back to certain things, but he doesn't have a change of heart where he's repentant and will completely stop what he's doing and, you know, work in a better direction. He's still kind of like, you know, half in, I want to be your husband and all that stuff. But I don't know about the romance part. Like, everything's like, he's kind. He does all kinds of stuff. He's helpful. Sometimes he goes into blaming. But for the most part, he's like, I never left you. I was always here. Whenever you needed me, I'd come right away. But yeah, I don't want a husband like that. I want a husband in all forms, not just, oh, you're my errand guy or the babysitter or something like that.
Right. Yeah, and that's understandable. One thing I like, I've learned from somebody else and I like to live by is Proverbs 31. The type of woman that's in that, those verses, you should try to be. 1 Corinthians 13, that type of love you should display. Patient, kind, you know, just be patient with them. Because it's something also emotional. Like, being a prodigal isn't only trauma from a marriage. Being a prodigal sometimes, a lot of the times actually, comes with trauma before the marriage. Like, it's a lot of insecurities that come with that person. So it's hard to deal with. It is, especially when, you know, you're praying and praying, you don't really see anything. But just know that you have to continue showing what a spouse is and what they want in a spouse.
Oh, you said Proverbs 31, and what was the other one?
Proverbs 31 and 1 Corinthians 13.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, next question.
Hi, my name is Lilrin. I have a question, if that's okay.
Sure, go ahead. We hear you.
Hi. Would you be willing to say a little more about... You mentioned a couple of times in your story about how you wanted to come back or you wanted to change, and you felt like you just couldn't, like something was stopping you. Would you be willing to expand on that a little more?
Yeah. It literally felt like a lead weight, like something, somebody. It's like when you want to run somewhere, but somebody's holding your sleeves or holding your arm. Or it's like when you have sleep paralysis, like you want to move, but you can't move, you can only move your eyes, or, you know, that saying, cat got your tongue, is like the perfect.
Crystalina, we lost you again there.
What was that?
We just lost you. Hello? Again. Okay, you're back. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Can you hear us? Okay. So, yeah, you were talking about, like, being in a state of paralysis.
Right. It's like being in a state of paralysis. Like, you can't spit out those words no matter as much as you want to. It's difficult.
Are you still with us?
Yeah. I'm going to try to see if I can pull over because I'm trying to drive home at the same time and... It sounds like it's not working.
That's why you kind of go in and out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you trying to stay connected on the call. While you're doing that, let me point out one verse real quick that kind of goes along with this. 2 Timothy. This is another one of my favorite verses because this gives us an insight of what's going on with our prodigals. 2 Timothy 2:26, but I'll read 24, 25, and 26. 2 Timothy 2:24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. And here's the verse I want to point out. And that they, those who are deceived, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil because they have been taken captive by Satan to do his will. This verse here, 2 Timothy 2:26, tells us several things. Number one, we know that Satan could hijack someone's free will to no longer do what they should be doing, but they're doing his will. It feels good in the flesh. It seems easy to say no to God, resist God, be stubborn, be prideful and arrogant and tell God no, just like Jonah. No, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go back to my husband. I don't want to go back to my wife. And when prodigals are in that state of mind, and I've read this countless of times from Return Prodigals, is that they say, like Bob Steinkamp said this, Lindsay Doss in her book said this, so many prodigals who come back said that they were in this state of fogginess or state of being out of control, or this is the verse. This tells us. 2 Timothy 2:26. So later tonight, when you're done with this conference call, go and read this very slowly and carefully, and you'll understand this is where our prodigal is. And this is one of the reasons why we're praying for them, so they're released and they come out of that state of mind. So I'm going to turn it right back to you, Crystalina, if you can continue with your account of feeling with that state of paralysis.
Yeah, it's definitely a state of paralysis and definitely a state of fogginess. I have said countless of times to people during my prodigal days, I just feel like I'm floating through life. I just feel like it's just a haze and I'm just floating, and that's literally how it felt. And 50% of the time it was also, I don't want to look stupid. Like, I felt like my husband would say when I came back, oh, I told you so, like, you came back, or other people would do that. And so it was hard to speak up.
I'm afraid to ask. You're still with us, right?
Yeah.
Crystalina, you still with us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm still with you guys. I was just done talking.
Okay. All right. So to the caller who was asking that question, does that help? Does that kind of give you a better understanding of what's going on? And
yes, thank you so much for sharing more about that and the verse two.
Okay.
You're welcome.
The if you guys are not familiar with Bob and Charlene Steinkamp, they have a ministry. Well, Bob's passed away now. He's, I think, gone to heaven about 20-something years ago. But Restore Marriage Ministries, you probably heard of them. Lindsay Doss, she has a book. I read the book, I think, 3 years ago. There are quite a few books or places you can read the prodigals' testimonial of how God turned their hearts and brought them back. I would reach out to me and I'll recommend some of these books and where you can find the testimonials to find them, read them. You need to read these so you understand, get a better grasp of an understanding of the prodigal's mindset. But they are out there, and you've got to read this because that's how you're going to understand. And then you'll know, you'll understand, and then you'll know how to stand, how to pray for them, and how to be patient and wait for God to do what he needs to do. Moving on with our Q&A. Other questions?
Hi, Crystalina. This is Dave Price, and I just wanted to ask a couple of different questions. And I guess first and foremost, if you had mentioned that during your time you had a friend that was – kind of leading you astray and kind of prompting you, and I just was curious about how did that friendship, you know, did it dissolve or did it continue? Because obviously that's one of the ones that I can really be close to. So, I mean, first and foremost, thank you for your testimony in glorifying Christ in through this and what you're doing. I think it's awesome and helping encourage others and recognizing how God works even though we can't see it. But just curious about how you dealt with that friend that was kind of leading you astray and that type of thing, because that's hitting home for me.
Yeah, thank you so much. So it was it at first. I kind of met her with a little pushback because, you know, I was like, how can I do that? How can I, you know, not include my husband? So after a while, you know, I got used to that, you know, she brought me on the dark side, I should say. And then it wasn't until I started dating my quote-unquote counterfeit, I guess you can say, and I stopped talking to her. There was something in me that just felt like I grew out of her. And it kind of made me sad because I didn't really want to grow out. Like, we were really close. We considered each other family. And it fizzled out. And it wasn't until a few months ago I tried to rekindle things with her, but something just kept coming in between. And I read a verse one time. I read something that just said, God removes people for a reason. And it didn't click until I read that. And I was like, she was removed for a reason. So I need to stop pushing on the subject of, hey, let's meet up for coffee, and just let her go.
Thank you for that, because that's one of the prayers that I have for my spouse, that she would break that ungodly relationship. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Dave, did you have any other questions, or was that it? Did you mention more?
I mean, I do have loads of questions, but I don't want to take over the forum, because, I mean, obviously, I mean, Christina, your testimony of the way that you've recognized how God worked has been, like I said, very encouraging, because that's the things, you know, we pray diligently about. How did you you said you kind of really found when you started to grow, you said you did a lot of research and those type of things. Did you sense, like, were you just finding how God's word came alive, or what element kind of drew you into that setting where all of a sudden you were starting to speak into his word?
I just started to, I just had a curious mind, and I'm like, okay, what's this whole Christianity type thing? So I started doing research, and I got into I downloaded the Bible app. And I'm like, let me just read this. And I started reading verses, and I stumbled upon the Rejoice Ministries, which was part of my research that I stumbled upon. And I searched out the word prodigal, because I was like, what is this word? And everything started to click together. And because while I was prodigal, I not only did I feel like I was floating through life, but I felt like I didn't belong. Like, I didn't know what was going on with me. Like, I didn't know what's happening. And so when I started seeing, you know, what a prodigal was, what standing in, I was like, wow, that's really what happened to me. That's really what's going on. And the more I read, the more I'm like, wow. Like, I started crying, because I'm like, this is, it's hitting the nail right on the head, you know. And, you know, it answered other questions for me. Like, me and my husband, we've been married for 10 years now, since November 28th of last year, but while I was prodigal, we were separated for 5 years. And each time that I tried to push the divorce process through, something kept coming in the way. Weather. Both of our bank accounts got drained at both different times, and we had to pay for it. Just something kept interrupting it. And when I kept reading, when I did my research, I'm like, oh, wow, like, God was doing that on purpose.
Roadblocks.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Other questions?
Yeah, it's Glenn again. I'm sorry. as I'm standing, and I understand what Ms. Christina was saying, it's just like I said, even though we don't know what God's doing, you know, that's for him to know only. And I'm sitting there like, man, you know, even when she's with someone else, I'm like, when is that moment going to come to crack? Because I'm trying my best to hold on and try to stand firm and keep my faith. Because, you know, even my son, he almost slipped up and told his mom yesterday, and I stopped him from saying it because I didn't want her to think that I was trying to use my son to bring her back. He almost told his mom, I want you and dad back together. And I'm just sitting here like, what goes through your head even with the other person? And, you know, does your standing spouse ever come to mind? And, you know, I know you guys don't want to, you know, lose ground, or like you're saying, pride to be hurt, or I told you so, which that definitely not going to come from me. You know, what is this going to take just to, in general, other than God, obviously, you know, what do you need to see or just to have that breakthrough, especially when it involves kids, because I'm trying to give up on her and turn my back, because sometimes I want to give up. I just hold on and just stand, but it's pretty tough, you know, especially when you're not seeing signs, and sometimes you're wondering, is it God's will to put y'all back together? You know, maybe you're not seeing certain things for a reason. You know, a lot of things that go through the standard's mind as well. So what do you have to say about that?
It is hard. We have a six-year-old, and when I left, I took her with me. So I was always mom, even as a prodigal. So that's one part I don't understand my husband's point, because he's kind of like MIA right now. But it did go through my mind a lot, especially even though she lived with me, that I broke up this family. I made my daughter another statistic that she's going to grow up in two households. My husband also always popped up in my mind as to how I hurt him. So don't ever think that you don't cross or your kids don't cross your spouse's mind. It does. And like I will stress this till my last breath. When you're a prodigal, your alone time, quiet time, is torture and the worst times, because that's when God starts speaking to you and your thoughts get louder and you start hearing those thoughts more and more, and they just get to a point where you cannot unhear them or you can't stop them. And again, it's like being a drug addict. When something emotionally stirs you up and you don't want to feel those emotions, you go ahead and get your next fix. As a drug addict's next fix is either, you know, meth, like cocaine. But a prodigal's next fix is going out, hanging out with people, distractions. Their next fix is distractions. So it's a possibility that a lot of times there's another woman, there's another man, and it sucks, it hurts. That's a distraction. But best believe that God is always going to use that distraction, and they're not going to let them, you know, have the time of their life while being with this person. It might seem like they're having a great time, whether they're dating somebody else or whether they're single and just like, oh, hey, I'm out here single and free. No, because at the end of the day, they have to go back home and be alone with their with themselves and their thoughts. So it always crosses the mind. And I would say, because I did that the first time, my daughter wanted to run to my husband and say, why don't I want you, mom, back together? But I don't stop her anymore, because that's also God speaking through her. And again, God can speak to our prodigals in many different ways. And they might at first take it as, oh, you're using them. But after a while, you know, if it gets to a point where they keep blaming you, you just got to say, like, you know, our kids are human beings too. Like, you know, they want mommy and daddy back together. It's like, I'm not saying anything. You know, you have that right to say, hey, they have feelings also.
Glenn, does that help? Does that answer your question?
Thank you. Yeah, that helps, because, like I said, yeah, I know that she's dating, you know, some other guy, and I'm just like, man, it just doesn't, you know, like it doesn't feel right. It does hurt. And I just pray that God turns the heart back to him and turns it back to me, because it's just not right, you know.
And right, and it's hard, and like you want to give up. There's so many times where I've yelled at God, and I'm like, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I wake up the next day, and I just feel compelled to keep standing. And you're not done until God says you're done. You're not done until you have no breath in you. So it's you are literally fighting a battle. This isn't, you know, just a little tit for tat. This is a war. This is a battle for a human being and a soul. This isn't a normal, you know, spelling test. You really have to get down to nitty-gritty and pray. When I tell you my first few months of standing, they were so horrible, because all he was all about the other woman. He was mean to me. Yeah, super mean. And I stopped contact with him. And I just focused on praying for him, and I prayed three times a day. I prayed, and you don't have to. It's just how you feel compelled to really go to war. When I tell you, after the fourth month, this man started being cordial with me, started saying, you know, we do have a chance of getting back together. You know, it really does work. You just have to, you know, stand firm and let them know, like, I'm not giving up. I'm standing for a marriage.
Yes, that makes sense. I'm trying. I really am. Thank you.
Okay, other questions?
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So when you told him that you wanted to, you were going to stand for him no matter what, how did he react?
It was two separate times. The first time I just told him verbally, and he was just like, he couldn't look me in the eye. And it was the beginning of my stand. And he's like, I really appreciate that, but, you know, it's dead. It's been dead for years. The second time, I wrote him a letter because in one of the standing groups that I follow, you know, you can write yourself a letter. So I wrote him a heartfelt letter, and I told him, you know, no matter what, I'm not giving up on us. I'm sorry. I recognize the hurt. And he received that pretty well. There's been other times where, like, I give him, like, a quick, I'm not giving up, and he's just like, stop it, blah, blah, blah. But the most recent time, he took it pretty well. He's like, I respect your decision. Thank you. We don't know what the future holds. I'm not going to rule you out if it doesn't work out with this woman. You know, so it was kind of like, it was a better reaction, but it still wasn't, you know, what we all want to hear.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. That answers my question, because he told me, kind of similar as you, actually. Well, not really, but then later on, the second or third time, it's like trying to be nice, like you said. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, other questions? We've got about another 10 minutes before we wrap it up. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's not a question. I just want to thank Kristalina for her bravery. This is Becky.
Hi, Becky.
It's got to be brave. Hello. It's got to be a challenge to speak what you have done when you know two people that you know are going through what you are now that you were part of before. And I just want to thank you because it really is eye-opening. You've been a blessing to all of us.
Thank you.
That's all.
Okay. Thank you for that. Any other comments or questions? Feedback.
Yeah, I just want to go ahead and tell thank you for letting us know the process and how you handle everything and praying. Because, like I said, I did the same thing last night. I got frustrated with her, wanted to give up. I prayed this morning, asked God for a sign, and next thing you know, I see a memory popped up 8 years ago when I proposed to her. I was like, is this a good sign? And this is a sign that you're bringing her back? You know, because I didn't expect a video to pop up of me, you know, popping a big question to her 8 years ago.
Right.
So, I mean, I appreciate everything. You know, it does help. And like I said, I just wish a speedy restoration would be in place for everyone.
Very welcome. And if, like, anybody needs support, like, my Facebook is always open, and I just want to convey that it is hard. We all understand that it is hard. This is not something lighthearted or easy. Again, this is a fight. This is a battle. You are standing in that gap of trying to rip your spouse from Satan's claws and bring him back into Jesus' arms. And it's just know to never give up. Your prayers are being heard, you know, and that is your person. Your spouse is your person. So, you know, that fire that burns within you, use that love, you know, from the day you guys first met, from the day you proposed, from looking at your kids, use that as fuel and fire. Like, no, you cannot, if you need to yell at Satan and say, you cannot have my marriage, you cannot have my spouse, do so. Do so, because that is your person and that is your right to claim what is yours and what is also God's.
Crystalina, I have a question for you. Having been on the other side, you experienced firsthand what it was like to be a prodigal. You also experienced firsthand what it was like for God to touch you, well, pursue you, touch your heart, turn your heart, and now he's strengthening you and carrying you through this standing period. Is there anything that you could share with us and everyone calling in or listening in, anything you could share with us that, you know, look, I've been to the other side and I've seen this. I know this whole conference call was kind of about that, but anything specific, anything that the callers are listening and can kind of, I don't know, kind of grab a hold of and say, I don't know, something almost tangible. I don't know if that even makes sense. I'm trying to ask something.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, okay. I understand. Don't give up. You might think that your spouse doesn't see it, notice it, or cares. My husband didn't even know he was standing. He wasn't a child. He's not a child of God, and wasn't at the time. But just knowing that he was fighting, and he even said he was praying, that stuck with me. So knowing that you guys are for sure standing, and you guys are for sure children of God, and you let your spouses know, hey, I'm not giving up. Don't think that that's not heard in their eyes, because it sticks with them. Another thing I will say is focus on yourself. It's hard to not focus on the whole situation every single day. Focus on yourself. Use this time to, you know, learn something new, you know, treat yourself, do something that where sometimes it does just get your mind off of this, because either way, God's working on it. It's going to happen. God didn't need help when he moved that stone from the tomb, when he rose Jesus from the dead. He's not going to need your hand right now other than prayers. So just pray without ceasing. If you need to rest, rest. But don't give up because your spouse is.
But I can tell you this much, that God is faithful. Our God is faithful.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. All right. One final question. Anybody in the background who's been, you know, don't be shy. One more question you could ask Crystalina. Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and let's wrap this up. Before we do, we're going to have a prayer to close out. For those of you who are not familiar, wherever you saw the conference call being posted, because I'm part of five different standing Facebook groups, I will try to get the recording posted there. I'm also going to post it on praisereports.org. By the way, if you're not familiar with that website, praisereports.org is exclusively dedicated to restored marriage testimonials. That's it. There are some books that are listed there that I have read, and they're posted there. There's some other ministries for standing. I would encourage everyone, look, we've got the Word of God and His promises, and we also have testimonials, because that's demonstrating to us in our world today, right now that we live in, that God does restore marriages. And the 150 that are listed on praisereports.org does not even begin to scratch the surface, excuse me, of all the restored marriages. So, but the site has 150 restored marriage testimonials. I would recommend if you feel that you need to increase your faith, your stand, your resolve, your walk relationship with God in this time of standing, go to that website, and everything there is, all the resources, everything is free. Go and fully immerse yourself in restored marriage testimonials. There's some from prodigal spouses there, prodigal husbands, prodigal wives. There as well, there's conference calls that we've done over a period of 2 years. I think there's, I don't know, 50 conference calls there. There's also restored, there's conference calls of restored couples or husbands or wives. It's there. Go, because that's what's going to strengthen you day by day, every single day, to continue to stand. Like Crystalina said, this is a real, this is a battle. And all of us know this, and it's the hardest battle we've ever faced in our entire life. So you go there, spend time there, listen, watch, read the testimonials. One of my favorite verses, which is posted on that website, is Revelation 12:11. We overcome. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, and by the word of their testimony. And that's why testimonials are so important, because when we hear Crystalina's testimony of her, of God touching her heart, turning her heart, the root word in Hebrew, testimony, means do it again. Do it again, God. Do it again. And that's what we want. So when we hear someone's testimony of God turning their heart, of God restoring their marriage, that becomes a prophecy for us and our marriage and our spouse. And that's why you want to fully immerse yourself in the restored marriage testimonials, because it will do one thing and one thing only. It will boost your faith, your trust, your dependence on God, and your faith walk in the stand. That's what it will do. So if you find yourself in that place, that's where you want to go. There's a bunch of restored marriage testimonials on Facebook groups that you saw this conference call posted. They have testimonials as well. Like, they're everywhere if you look for them. So that's what I want to encourage you to do. So if you guys have any questions, you want some additional resources, you know how to reach me through Facebook, through some of you through email because you have my email. Reach out. Let me know. There's a
Excuse
ton
me,
of resources.
My dogs are barking, but could you repeat that verse in Revelation?
Revelation 12:11.
Chris, can you please please repeat that the website? Is it praisereports.com?
Praisereports.org. It's .org.
.org. Thank you.
.org. Praisereports.org. And if you want me to just contact me through Facebook, I'll share all that again with you. There's books. There's a lot of other. I'm not selling anything, guys. I do this because I'm standing too. And when I'm encouraging other people, I get encouraged. When I hear another testimonial, I get encouraged. I've been doing this for 5 years, and it's not easy. So I've walked the walk. I'm walking it now. So all of this, reach out to me. There's a ton of resources, but you've got to spend that time reading the Bible, reading verses, reading the testimonials. That's how we strengthen our walk and our stand. That's how we do it, because no one's going to do it for you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But God will, and God can, and God does. And God does. Bob Steinkamp says over and over again, prodigals come home. They do. They do. They do. They do. I can say this a million times until sunrise. They come home. And I cannot emphasize this strong enough. Where will you be when God touches your spouse's heart and turns their heart back towards home? Are you going to be home waiting with the lights on? Or are you going to be moving on because for whatever reason? There's only one reason to stand, Jesus Christ. And there's 1,000 reasons to quit. Satan will make it as easy as possible for us to quit and move on. He'll give us every excuse in the book. And we can grab on. I got to show this. I don't know the guy's last name. The Greg Groeschel, I'm probably butchering his last name. He had a sermon today, and if you can look him up or contact me through Facebook, I'll give you the YouTube link. He had a sermon today. I'm sorry?
Is he Life Church pastor?
Yes. I don't know. Is it New Life? Yeah. Something like that. But
my pastor, yeah.
You got to watch the sermon from today, because today was about not quitting. And it was about going the next step and going the next step. So find him on YouTube. He's got the sermon posted that was live today. It was very encouraging. And again, I've been standing for 5 years. Every single day I have to go and encourage myself. I have to, like David did in the Bible. That's what we have to do, because every single day we're being bombarded and attacked by discouragement, by look what's going on, look what's happening, look at what's not happening. And a lot of times we want to focus on those negative things. You know why? Because it's easy. It's easy to quit. It's easy to focus on a negative. And there's the battle. So I'm not going to turn this into a sermon. Go watch that. If you need resources, there are tons of resources everywhere. Every single one of these ministries groups that are on Facebook that you're a part of, they've got resources. Sheila Hollinger, she's got resources and testimonials. She's got books. She's got a bunch of free stuff. RMM, Restore Marriage Testimonial, Restore Marriage Ministries, Charlene Steinkamp, so many resources, but you've got to put in the time, because that transforms your heart and your mind, and it then gives you peace and rest. Rest. We all need rest in our standing, and that's what we need. You'll find rest in standing and waiting, and that's what we all desperately need. So I cannot encourage you more, and more than what I have already. Okay, Crystalina, you're still with us. Can I ask you, and if you don't want to, I'll close this out in a prayer, but can I ask you, as a former prodigal turn stander, can I ask you to pray over all of us who are listening or who will listen later, and bless us all with encouragement as we close out in prayer?
Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we thank you for bringing all of us together. And even though these times are trying, we thank you because this is bringing us and our families closer and breaking those generational curses. I ask you when I pray to you today in Jesus' name to put and cover us with your hands of protection, your hands of healing, your hands of soothing. And we know that you're always there with us, and we know that you're going to do this regardless, because nothing is impossible for you. And we just thank you for everything that you've been blessing with us with and through this walk guiding us. So in Jesus' name, I bless all these beautiful people, and I thank you for today. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Crystalina, for your time. You've been very generous. God bless you, everyone who's on this conference call. You will be restored if you stand with God. Amen. God bless you all. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Peace and kisses.